Okay, good morning, Brishos Rabbi Krohns. We are on Pei Tes Amid Aleph. We are where it says Verami Mezid Amezid, which is about, I don't know. It's kind of it's hard to say where this is, but it's kind of like four or five lines from the bottom, right in the middle. So if you were following in the art scroll, it's 89A3. So we had been talking about this discussion between Rav Chista and Rav Nasan Barabi Oshia, and where it had to do with the question was, if you have you have something that you need to declare, you need to remove truma from, and you decide that you're going to take produce or something that's tamei and take it and use it to take truma from it, in order to enable the stuff that needs to be truma taken from, you're really not supposed to do that. However, if you do it by shogeg, it sort of works. However, if you do it by mezid, there was a statement, you didn't accomplish anything, right? So lo asav lo klum is what the Gemara says. And then the question is, between the two opinions, as Rav Chista says, what does that mean, lo asav lo klum? It means you didn't do anything. In other words, you didn't enable the pure stuff to be used because truma was taken from it. The stuff from the tameh stuff that you gave is not truma. Nothing happened. Total do over. However, Abnasa Rav Oshia says no. It's not quite that. It's what you gave as truma. That piece, even though it was tameh, it still counts as truma. However, you need to give truma a second time. So then there was a discussion between what's the difference between the two of them. And there was basically a statement that, like, why does Rav Chista not say like Rav Nasan? Because he says that people will not, once they know that truma has been given, they won't agree to give truma a second time. So then it quoted another story around when it comes to certain types of fruits or vegetables like cucumbers or other things like that. If you gave those as truma and then you find out that they are spoiled, then what you gave was truma, but you have to give truma a second time. So it's like, why is that different? So then it sort of kind of specified that there really were three levels. There was shogeg, where you gave it completely without knowing, and then there's negligence, which is in between, which when it comes to the fruit, to the vegetables, it's considered negligent because you should have tasted the fruit before you gave it. And then there's total mezid, which is the initial case where you gave something that's clearly tummy. So going back to the Gemara, Verami mezid amezid. So we have a contradiction between two different statements of when you're giving truma, when you're doing this by bemezid. Hachakatani bemezid lo asaklum. In the case of tamei, where you gave tamei in order to enable the tahor to become usable, we say lo asaklum, you didn't accomplish anything. Hasam Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, and this Mishnah is in Demai, Hatori Mishain Nakov Al Nakov. So if you have something growing in a flower pot, if the flower pot has holes in it where it's actually connected to the ground through the holes in it, then it is considered required truma midaraisa. However, if you have a flower pot that's just a full flower pot that's not really connected to the ground, then in theory you give truma, but that truma is only derabanan. So if you want to take produce from a pot that does not have holes in it and use it to enable produce that does have holes in it, so in other words, you're taking something where you're doing derabanan truma in lieu of the araisa truma. So what happens? Truma v'yachzar v'yitrum. That what you gave was truma. What you gave from the flower pot without holes, yes, that's considered truma. However, you now need to go give second truma again from the perforated pot, because you need to enable the produce that has truma, a doraisa truma requirement. So in this case, we're again requiring the guy who say, all right, you gave truma, but we have to give truma a second time. So why in this case would we say the guy's going to be willing to listen and give truma a second time, when before we said no, that the reason we couldn't do it is because the guy will not agree to give truma a second time? So the Gemara answers, betray ma'ane tzayis. We're talking about two different utensils. So when you give truma from one thing and then we say no, you now need to give truma from a second utensil, the guy's going to be willing to agree. But we're only talking about one set of things, like fruit, like whatever type of produce that's not in two different things, even though one's tar and one's tummy, the guy will say, once you say his thing that he gave was truma, he'll say, I already gave truma, I don't need to give truma again. So now going to Rav Nasan bar Oshia, or Rav Nasan bar Oshia de Amar, lo asal lo klum lo takin shi raims, he says, when it says lo asal lo klum, it talks about what it means is that what you gave is truma, but you need to give truma a second time. Aval truma havai, the truma that he gave, he's saying that the truma he gave is truma, and the Kohen could use it, like we said earlier, when you give tamei truma, the Kohen is able to use it to burn it and use it for its oil. So it does qualify as truma. Maishna mahadatna, why is the rule different here? I mean, a nakav al shel a nakav, truma so truma. In the case of where you have the perforated pot, truma sa truma, his truma is considered truma and should be given to the Kohen, even though it was from a non-perforated pot. Voteacha, however, he's not allowed to eat from the produce in the perforated pot. Acha yotze la truma maser makom acher, until he takes truma maser from something that's on a d'oraisa level. So again, he's saying in this case, you gave truma on a derabbanan level. You need now to go and do truma and maaser on a d'oraisa level in order to enable the produce in the perforated pot to be used. The Gemara answers, shiny hacha. It's different here. The d'oraisa truma ma'alta he derabbi alai. That under the d'oraisa, it's a valid truma, and this follows the opinion of Rabbi Lai. That we'll talk about what Rabbi Lai says in a second. So the Kohen is allowed to use this produce, is allowed to use this truma without having to do a secondary separation from a perforated pot. Amar Rabbi Lai, minayin l'torah min hara al yafa. From where do we know that if you take truma from inferior produce in order to free up superior produce to be consumed, shetruma sa truma, that truma counts and it works. Dichtiv, you shall not bear a chait, you not have a sin when you separate the best part of truma from it, meaning that if you do not take superior on to cover superior, but you take inferior to cover superior, that it works, but it's a sin. The reason it works is that because it's a sin, in other words, it wouldn't be a sin if it didn't work, it just wouldn't work. But because you say it's a sin, therefore, you must be an implication that it actually works. Mikan, here you learn, litorah ma'aral yafesh truma sa truma. Therefore, you learn that when you bring truma from inferior produce, that it works, even though it's not totally inappropriate. So now going back to Rav Chisda, and now turning the page in Art Scroll. Amale Rabu Rav Chisda. Rava says Rav Chisda. Lididach, the amart, lo asal lo kum kol ikar. According to you, and you say that one who deliberately separates this tame for the tahar does it amaze it, you didn't do anything. Dafilu ahu griva hadalativa, that even the amount, even what you took, even that piece that you took from the tame to be used as truma, that itself is not truma at all. Gzeira Dilma Pasha Velo Marfish. The reason you do this is because you're worried that the guy is not going to be willing to bring another truma. So therefore, you don't allow this first piece to be considered truma. Mi ika mi de demaraisa ave truma. It's what you're doing here is you're disqualifying a d'oraisa rule. Basically, you're saying he doesn't have to bring. It doesn't count as truma. Umishum Dilma Pasha Afukan Rabban Lechulin. And because you worry that the guy is not going to do what you want him to do, the Rabbanan said it's not Truma, and it made it not Truma. So in other words, the guy took Truma from Tame in order to enable Tahar, which he shouldn't have done. And what you're saying is, it's not Truma. Even though he called it Truma, it's not Truma. So in other words, even though in theory, Midarei said that piece should be Truma, the Rabbanan removed its status, and because the guy might not follow the rules, the Bezdin Masin Akar Davar Min HaTorah. Is the Bezdin able to not disqualify a D'oraisa? In other words, take something that's D'oraisa and not do it. So now we're gonna have some proofs that this actually can happen. Armalei, the atl tisvara. Don't you say that the rabbanan are able to disqualify a da'oraisa? Vatnan, we learned in our Mishnah. This is connection back to the Mishnah we learned. Havlad mamzer mizeh mizeh, that we said what happens when she gets married by virtue of the single witness, and that testified that the husband died, and she goes and gets remarried, and then there's children. Havlad mamzer mizeh mizeh, whether she has children from the second husband or the first husband, they're both mamzerin. Bishlama misheni mamzer. It makes sense that any child born from the first husband is a mamzer because she was still married to the first husband. But why should any child born of the first husband be considered a mamzer? Ishtahu, she's technically his wife. V'Yisrael Mailahu, and the child born to this husband and wife is a Yisrael. And we're basically saying, by doing this, we're saying, no, he's a mamzer. And therefore, we're saying, you know what? Even though he's a Yisrael, we're going to call him a mamzer, which implies he's now allowed to marry a mamzeris, the kasherina lama mamzeris. So we're saying, even though this guy was really born in Yisrael, the Rabbanan are going to give him the status of a mamzer, which then allows him to marry a mamzeris, which theory b'daraisa he's not allowed to do. Right? So how are they able to do that? Armalei hachar mashmuel asur mamzeris. No, he's actually not allowed to marry a mamzeris. V'chi asa Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan asur mamzeris. He's not allowed to marry a mamzeris. V'amai karle mamzer. Why are they calling him a mamzer? La'osra b'vas Yisrael. To say, no, he's not allowed. We're not overruling the Araisa that says that the Yisrael is not allowed to marry mamzeris. We're saying he's considered a mamzer in the sense that he's not allowed to marry Yisrael. So we're kind of penalizing him.
So who can he marry?
That's a good question. He can't marry anybody, right? So basically, it doesn't allow him to marry anybody. He can't marry him. According to this, he can't marry mamzeres, and he can't marry Yisrael. So it's like the ultimate penalty. So if you look at Rashi, Sor B'Vas Yisrael, sort of talks about what Arnon said, the concept of Alma, it's a penalty. Hulahachmir makes this great chumra. Lasosiag l'Torah, that it's not really that you're overruling a Torah prohibition, but you're creating a siyah, you're creating this fence. Ve'inzu akira, it's not an akira. Aval hakel devei Torah akira, that it's not really a kula in the sense it's totally a chumra, that he's not allowed to marry either way. So now we're going to talk about other cases of darabanans that overruled the araisa. Shalach Rav Chista could try to find one. Shalach Rav Chista Rabba Biar Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna. So Rav Chista sent a letter to Rabba Bar through Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna. Vein Bezdin Masel Akar Davi Min HaTorah. Can the Bezdin not overrule something that's the daraisa? Vatanya, we learned in the baraisa. Me'emas Ay Adam Yoresh Ish Ishto Katana. When is a man allowed to inherit the estate of his wife who is a minor? So what we're talking about here is a situation that we learned about earlier, where if the father of a young girl dies, then the brother and the mother are allowed to do this form of marriage called which is sort of like an intermediate marriage, but she has the right when she turns 12 years old to reject it. It's called miyun, right? We learned about this previously. So they could tentatively marry her off, but when she gets old enough, she's allowed to walk away from it. So when do you have a case when this man is allowed to inherit the estate of his wife who is underage? When does he get the right to do that? Because in theory, the problem here is that this is a tentative marriage, and the property doesn't really belong to her. You know, the Yerusha shouldn't really be there because the marriage is not final. So when the question really here is when does that marriage in essence become final? So Beishamai Omrim Mishitame Bikomasa, when she reaches the age of maturity, when she becomes old enough. Beisil Omrim Mishitanis Lachupa, when she enters the chuppah, meaning when she, I guess the process was, is that they would sort of betroth her when she was underage, and when she became of age, they would, you know, there would be a chuppah ceremony where she would formally accept the marriage, as opposed to doing miyun, where she would reject the marriage. So Beis Shammai says when she becomes old enough. Beis Hillel says when she goes to the chuppah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Misha Debal, when she has relations for Yarshin. It's from that point on, according to those opinions, the husband is allowed to inherit the property of the girl if she dies. Umitamile, and if he's a Kohen, he's allowed to be Mitame himself to bury her, because a Kohen is only allowed to Mitame himself to bury the Shiva Krovim, and if she's not really his wife, he wouldn't be allowed to be Mitame. V'ochelos begita b'truma, and she is eligible to eat truma, that's because he is a Kohen. So going through those, let's clarify these different opinions. Beishame Omri Mishitame Mikomaso. Beishame says when she becomes old enough, when she reaches 12 or 12 and a half. Afa Gavdol Nichas LeChuppah. Does he mean that even though she has not yet done the chuppah, the formal acknowledgement of the marriage, once she turns of age, then it really becomes official, and therefore he's able to inherit her? Gemara answers, Ema Mishitame Mikomaso Vitimas LeChuppah. Maybe Beishame means that both things have to happen. She has to reach the right age, and second, she has to do the chuppah ceremony, whatever that is. And this is what Beis Shammai are saying to Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel says the kamrisa misha the kanas al chuppasik. When Beis Hillel says when she goes to the chuppah, it's not so clear cut. What it really means is e omda b'chomasa, if she reaches the right age, mahanile chuppah, then she goes to chuppah. Then the chuppah becomes effective for her, and it entitles her husband to inherit her if she dies. Below, and if she did not reach the right age, lo mahani lechuppah, then going into the chuppah, if they do this chuppah thing, whatever that is, it doesn't work for her until she reaches the right age. So you can't assume that just because she goes to the chuppah, then the whole concept of mian isn't going to happen. But you need both things. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mishitibal, Rabbi Eliezer says the property becomes effective when she has relations. So the implication is that maybe if she had relations when she was a minor, then it would work as well. V'ha'amar Rabbi Eliezer, ein masik tana klum. But we say that when a minor has relations, it means nothing. It doesn't cause anything real to happen. So does he really mean that? Meaning, ein mishitagdil v'tibal. So Rabbi Eliezer also must mean that she has to, A, reach adulthood, and then have relations. It's not just the act of relations, but she has to be old enough as well. So Rav Chista says, Ketani mihes yarsha. So the Braisa teaches us that once there, you don't have to worry about mian, once she either reaches the right age, or she has the chuppah, or the relations, then he is eligible to inherit her estate, even though this marriage was really just a rabbinic marriage that was done by the father, by the relatives. So what we have here is a situation where technically the father should inherit the daughter because it's only a rabbinic marriage. But because the Rabbanan set up this situation, we're enabling him to inherit her at the time that these things happen. So this would imply that, you know, according to Rav Chista is saying that this is a situation where the Rabbanan are able to override the Oraisa principle. So we reject this by saying Hefker best din Hefker. This is a well-known concept that we know that when it comes to monetary manners and you know, inheritance is a monetary manner, the Bezdin has the right to basically make any property Hefker and give it to someone else. To Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, how do we know that the court has the right to, you know, basically move property from one place to another? This is from Ezra. And Ezra basically said anyone who does not return within 3 days, then the property will go back to, the property basically gets taken away from them. So what's happening here is that he's saying that the Bezin has the right to basically confiscate the property that belonged to other people by a decree of Ezra, by a decree of the Rabbanan. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Mahach, he says, no, we learn it from a different place. So these are the inheritances that were apportioned. So when Bnei Yisrael crosses the Yarden and comes into the land, there was an apportionment of the land according to the tribes. So it mentions here, it talks about Rashi Ha'avos, and it talks about Yehoshua, and you know, so it talks about Yehoshua basically allocated the land, and then it talks about Rashi Ha'avos, that the families of the tribes. So why do we have this connection between the Avos, meaning the leaders, and the, you know, the Rashim, meaning the leaders, and the Avos, meaning the fathers? We learn from this. So what would happen here is that they would allocate to the tribes. They would say, okay, this tribe has this area of land, and but then within the land, the fathers would work out amongst themselves how they would allocate the land that they had to their children. So just like the fathers can allocate according to their will, so too, the heads of the people can allocate to the people according to the way they want to. So again, so it kind of points out that the Beis Din has the right to allocate according to this. Umitamele, and so now we learned that if the Kohen, we said the Kohen is allowed to be Metame himself in this case. So what do we basically said that because normally a Kohen would not be allowed to be Metame himself to marry somebody he wasn't married to. And we're saying that the Kohen is allowed to be Metame here. So why is that? Here's a situation where Midia Reisa, only her father is allowed to contaminate herself. It doesn't really mean her father in this case, because we know her father died, but it really means her father's, her brothers and her mother, her family from her father. So it really should be that her family, her born into family, should have the responsibility to marry her. And they should be the only ones that should be allowed to be metame themselves to marry her. So why is he allowed to marry? He allowed to bury her. Why is he allowed to bury her? Right. So we're saying because the daresa was overriding daresa here is that the rabbanan said that this kohen, even though he's not allowed to, I mean the daresa, the family should bury her. They are overriding that by allowing him to marry her to bury her on the basis of a rabbinic marriage. So they say maybe this isn't the case. Bishum dehavilei meis mitzvah. Maybe what we're talking about is that this is a meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah is that when there's a body that there's no one to bury, it's considered a meis mitzvah. And in that case, a kohen is allowed to metame himself to bury a meis mitzvah. So how could this be a mihaveis meis mitzvah? How could this be? How can you consider this a meis mitzvah? Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa, Ezehu meis mitzvah. What is considered a meis mitzvah? Kol she'ein la kovrin, that there's nobody that you can call to bury this person, right? Korav acharim osim also. But if you can call other people to bury this person, ain't a meis mitzvah. It's not a meis mitzvah. So in this case, she has brothers and a mother. So she has this other family that, you know, married her off. And in theory, they should be called upon to bury her. And therefore, she should not be considered a meis mitzvah. So if she's not considered a meis mitzvah, what right do you have to say that this Kohen should be metame himself because of meis mitzvah? Our answer is, Tachinami kevin del yarsile, since the relatives no longer have the Yerusha rights, they no longer are going to inherit her. Karyavlo anilo, they're going to be like, who dis? They're going to be like, I don't know who you are, right? They're not going to be willing to come along and bury her if necessary. So because they no longer are inheriting her, they're not going to step up to bury her. And therefore, she's considered like a meis mitzvah. And therefore, the Kohen should be, the Kohen is allowed to bury her by virtue of being a meis mitzvah. So going to the top of Tzadik Amid Aleph. So the Ochelus Begita Betruma, and we had learned as well that the third thing we said was, we said that the Kohen is able to be Metame to bury her, as well as she, the minor, is allowed to eat Truma because of him. The Ochelus Begita Betruma. So this is also a going against a Da'araisa, because theoretically, since it's not a Da'araisa marriage, she should not be allowed to eat the truma of this Kohen. So what they're saying is that because this is a Darabbanan marriage, they gave the dispensation that she's allowed to eat truma. So maybe this as well is a case of proving that that of a, the Darabanan are able to go against the Daraisa. The Gemara doesn't like this as well. But Truma Darabanan says, no, this only applies to what would be considered Truma Darabanan. Like we learned earlier, if you had a flower pot, like we learned earlier, that doesn't have holes, in that case, the Truma that you bring on that is a Darabanan. So the, you're not overriding any Daraisa here. So again, we are still left with trying to find the case of a Darabanan overruling a Daraisa. So with this, we'll stop. And we'll continue again next week. But for now, have a wonderful day.